Well, good day to you. It's Joel with The King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
Loneliness is really just space. And if Genesis 1 taught us anything, it's that the Holy Spirit loves to fill open space. I would not trade for a second what loneliness has gotten me of God for a decade of marriage at this point.
Family, it's Kate
and JJ,
and we are recording this in February. And by the time this releases, we may or may not have a daughter. We don't know. I mean, we know we're going to have a daughter. We just don't Wait, know when she's coming.
The gender's not determined yet.
No, stop. Stop it, JJ. He loves these jokes. No,
we are in California.
Okay. Hey, stop. Stop. No. yeah. I just meaning that by the time this comes out, we may have given birth. Oh my goodness. So crazy to think about that. So yeah. Hi. if that's the case. But we're so excited about this episode because I think, first of all, our guest today, Meredith Knox, got introduced to me through our team. Come to find out, we have a mutual connection, Tara Lee Cobble. Love that. Anybody connected to TLC is going to be a friend of ours. But she is a single woman, and she'll tell you more about herself. But we talk about the reality of, or the question of, does singleness limit me? And why is there a messaging from the church where it's like, you're less than if you're single, and marriage is the pinnacle? And why don't we see very many pastors that are single and leaders that are single? And so we talk about all of that today with Meredith. It's so good.
But before we jump into the episode, Patreon, hey, we love you guys. Thank you so much. Hey, like we said, we are slowly growing and growing, and we are just so grateful. We have multiple tiers. You guys can join for as little as $5 a month. And I think what everybody's loving the most is the Q&As that we're doing.
Yeah, these Q&A episodes.
The exclusive Q&As, which, hey, I'm down. We love the questions. We're blown away by them. Mm-hmm. And we actually kind of want to double down on Q&As with you guys.
And you know what else is at the $10 tier, people have been loving getting a voice memo of feedback from you and I. People have been really taking advantage of that. We've gotten awesome questions in there. And that's been great. And also, if you didn't know, we offer one-on-one coaching now in Patreon at our top tier, and that renews every single month. So it's the first time we've offered one-on-one coaching in years that I personally have. So really exciting. Speaking of people who love Heart of Dating, there was a review on our podcast, and we love getting reviews. So please leave them on Apple, on Spotify. It really does help us to learn what you're liking. And, you know, ideally, if you have some negative feedback, that's not bad, but we just encourage you to more so email that to us so that we can talk to you about it more in depth.
Wait, but what do you mean negative feedback? Was there?
Well, we got a 5-star review, but I don't know if you're going to like this one.
But it's a 5-star review.
I don't know. Are you ready?
Yeah. How bad could it be?
Okay. Great podcast, but ... I don't want to take off any stars because I really do love this podcast and the truth, but wanted to share one possible insight. Kate is genuine and seems like a sweetheart. That's very kind of you. Since JJ has been added to the show, it seems like he is slowly trying to take over completely. Being added into the created by part of the intro was the first thing that rubbed me the wrong way. No, Kate created this long before you, buddy. That is true, my girl. Thank you so much. I've also noticed he is quick to talk over Kate. Always has to have the last word, even over guests. And the introduction of men only episodes has been frustrating because where are our women only episodes without JJ and his loud mouth? Sorry. Thanks for all you've done to encourage singles, Kate. I hope JJ can take a step back and let you and Jesus shine more instead of him. First of all, thank you to this person for being really kind to me. I'm laughing only because just like we joke about a lot. So it's very funny to read some feedback about like this about ourselves. Thank you for having my back. Thank you for being so awesome towards me. JJ.
Thank you for keeping thank you for putting my husband in his absolute place. Hey, listen, I appreciate the feedback. It was very honest and we will never write, punish someone for being honest.
Yeah. So no, it's great. To just defend JJ and this
No. There's no defense necessary.
Well, no, I want to say some things.
No. There's no defense here. I genuinely, there's no defense.
Okay. All right. But I want to say it.
Okay. You can go ahead.
No, just to say like, hey, I love the men's minisodes. The reason why we do that, just to clarify, is because you guys always are wanting more and more guys to learn about this information, right, of healthy dating. We never have issues having the girls listen, even to the men's show, but we wanted to do a resource specifically for guys that really helps equip guys, because the biggest complaint from women we see is, where are the good Christian single men? Well, if we can grow and help teach them through these men's minisodes, then they'll be more available for you, right? So that's like a win-win.
Let's just hope that they don't grow to be the loudmouth, interrupting,
oh my gosh,
dominant
stop.
Guy like me, and they can see what not to do.
Totally.
Right.
This is probably the longest intro we've ever had. We need to get into this interview with Meredith.
Okay. Well, enjoy the episode. I'll take a back seat. Kate, Meredith, and Jesus, I hope you guys shine.
Stop it. I think you're going to enjoy this one, you guys. Love you, fam.
Love you guys. And you who left the review.
Okay, guys, we have Meredith Knox on the show today, and I recently got connected to Meredith and already think the world of her. And Meredith, first of all, hi. Hello. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you.
We're so glad you're here. But what's so cool, on top of like multiple people sending me your Instagram and saying, you should like connect with this girl, we then find out that we have a mutual friend that we got to call out right now, because she does listen to the show. And she's not an unfamiliar person that we talk about on the show. So we have a mutual contact. Her name is TLC. Y'all may have heard of her. Mm-hmm. Right. And so you were telling us before this how you met her, and I think it's so fun. Yeah. So you retell that story. It's the best.
Oh yeah, Terry. Yeah, and if she, you know, hears this and y'all have her on a future episode, I believe that she would corroborate the story, that our stories would match up. But she used to live in Anderson, South Carolina, which is where I am now. And when I was a senior in college, she was just getting D group started, and D groups was not a goal of hers that like one day I'll have D groups that are across the world and I will recap the entire Bible and teach. That was just, she just wanted to
be like the number one podcast in the world. Like, what?
Yeah, that was not a goal. I mean, you know this from her story. That wasn't even her goal when she started the podcast. And she was just wanting to disciple younger women. And so I had a friend who invited me to a D group. And I'm pretty sure she reminded me of this story, because I forgot. When you've been dating as long as I have, all the dating, it all kind of goes into one homogenous blob. Like, you're just like, oh, yeah, I forgot when I was 21 that I dated the person. Anyways, she tells the story that the way we met was, I showed up at D group and we're doing like a tell a little about yourself. And apparently the first thing I said was, my name is Meredith. I just broke up with my boyfriend, and my friend said this might be a good thing to come to. So here I am. So, yeah. So that was our first meeting, and we've been friends ever since.
Everyone was like, she seems like a real box of joy. I'm glad she's here.
I'm glad they invited her to the group.
I was just trying to tell it straight from the beginning. Like, here's literally what just happened to me. Nice to meet you guys.
So if I'm crying over in the corner, that's why. No, I'm just kidding.
I mean, I love it. Imagine if everyone, when they introduce themselves, just led with like a super, super vulnerable thing that they're going through. And right. It's just how you started everything off.
I mean, I would respect that. I love that you did that. I would be like, I need to be her friend. Yeah, I would.
I love it. Well, and so you're currently single / dating, right? I don't know how you define it, but
she's unmarried. Okay.
You're unmarried.
We will say that she is unmarried, but you are in a relationship.
Yes, I am in a relationship, which, and even if and when he listens to this, he will not be surprised. That me saying, no one is more surprised than me that I am in a relationship, have been for, well, I guess like officially our 1 year, like, will you be my girlfriend? Which is that what you do at 36 years old?
Yeah. hey, we did it. Asked, 33, you know.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Good. So yeah, a little over a year now, we've been dating, which I know for a lot of Christians out there, you're going to be like, so when's the ring? And to that, I just say, maybe we need to calm down. And we feel in no, like, we love our relationship, feel in no rush to, you know, get married, or we just love the timeline God has us on. But he's the best. He is steady as the beating drum. I'm the one who's like, oh my God. And he's like, we're here. I'll be around. So yeah,
sounds familiar.
I'm dating. I have a boyfriend.
We're talking dating for 1 year in Christian world is like, you have to, it's like dog years. You've been dating for 7 years in secular dating world, you know, and everyone's
right.
Why do you think you guys are maybe just content to take your time?
I think dating in your mid-30s is way different than dating in your, like, early 20s. So if you're dating in college or early 20s, you ain't got nothing but time. So you're hanging out all the time. Just the literal amount of time that you can spend together is much more free. While, you know, we are coming together with two fully formed lives already. Like, we've even talked about neither of us felt like we were lacking in our lives before we started dating. So you have someone with a full-time job and a mortgage and possessions, and he has a son. He has a 7-year-old son. And then another person with a mortgage and already has a community and full-time job. And you're trying to take these two fully formed lives and bring them together. And it's just a much slower process. And I'm gonna be straight up at 36, like, after work today, I'm tired. Like, I'm like, he's going to go to the gym and get off at 7 and be like, do you want to grab dinner? And I'm like, I'm brushing my teeth. Like, I'm thinking about getting ready for bed. You know what I mean? So just, it's different. It's different.
You know, I love that you're saying that, though, because we do have a lot of people that are older singles. Okay, I'm putting quotes around that, older singles, but they would be like, you know, you're not old. Anybody listening to this who's married this age or older, okay, but they would be like, I'm an older single. You know, they actually say that about themselves. So this is not me. This is from their words. But they're like, I see a lot of people saying sometimes being like, oh, it doesn't have to take me a year or whatever, because I know what I want now. So I actually really appreciate you saying this perspective, because I'm like, you know, but you, there is no rush. There shouldn't be a rush. We're always big fans of like at least date somebody for a year. And we kind of use that same perspective, no matter the age, because you want to see someone in different seasons. Why would you rush marriage in any regard, the biggest decision in your life? And to your point, when you are older and have a fully formed life, it takes some time to figure out those things and how those worlds will meld together versus I just graduated college and I have like all those things set in place yet. So I think it's so good.
Yeah.
So,
and I've been waiting a long time to date.
Yeah.
So I'm like, dating is fun. Now I get it. I used to say dating is not fun.
Yeah.
But now that I'm dating someone that it is fun with, then I'm like, yeah, we're enjoying dating.
So good. Okay. Well, we're going to transition into some of the harder conversation of today. No, it'll be great. It's not a hard conversation. It's good. It's rich. It's fun. But Meredith, we're going to talk up kind of about around this idea of, does singleness limit me? And where I want to kind of start with that is something that I do talk about a lot, and we have acknowledged this on the podcast quite a few times, and is a big reason why I started Heart of Dating over 6 years ago as a single, because while the church, the church at large, okay, while church communities, the church at large didn't really intend to maybe forget about singles or treat them like black sheep, in many ways, even though they didn't intend to do that, they still have. And they either explicitly or implicitly highlight marriage as the pinnacle. You see marriage ministries. You see like just such a focus on marriage. In fact, you see marriage ministries, kids ministries, youth ministries, and very little in between all of that, aka the world of singles. And so it's a big reason why I started Heart of Dating, but I know you have some thoughts on this. So I'd love to just pick your brain on like how you've experienced that. What do you think about that? And as being a single person yourself.
Yeah. Oh man. I'm going to try really hard to not over talk. Because
please
this
do.
Is something, I guess that's the point of a podcast, but this is something I'm very passionate about because, especially in the current church, mm-hmm. There's something like, even within my church, something like close to 40% of our congregation are single mm-hmm. above the age of 19, which is a big portion yep. of the community. And I would say our church is not, and I'm in the South. Mm-hmm. So I imagine in other more urban, northern, maybe Western church communities, the percentage would be even higher.
It's higher. It is.
It's actually true. Yeah. In urban cities and urban churches, you have a higher amount of singles who practice singleness than maybe in more rural cities and areas of the yeah. church. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's becoming increasingly important for the church to not just recognize single people, but truly incorporate them into the lifeblood of the church. But like you said, Kate, like I don't think, first of all, just let me say, I love the church. I just want to be very clear. Like I can only ever remember loving it from playing tag with the boys, even though they didn't want me to when I was, 8, 9 years old, to middle school ministry, to college, like now working at a church. I love the church. And I think anytime there's a hyper focus on something within the church, the original intention was pure. So I think a focus on marriage or a hyper focus on marriage, the original intention was pure. The truth is like marriages and families need help. Like
totally.
We need marriage series, marriages need help. The family unit needs help. I think a lot of times like it was an effort in trying to get people to mature and grow up by using marriage as like that. Hey, let's mature in your faith. Let's grow into marriage. But maybe marriage was just misused as that tool, as a form of discipleship versus just older man or woman discipling a younger man or woman. I do believe marriage has become a Western church idol. I do believe it is a form of idolatry. But I want to be very clear that I don't think anybody set out in doing that. Usually things start with very pure motives. And then the enemy being crafty and as much of a turd as he is, he twists those pure intentions And it is human nature to hyper focus on what Jesus never put a hyper focus on. It is human nature to pendulum swing, to overcorrect certain things with the good things, but maybe they were just never meant to be ultimate. I will celebrate that I think the church is waking up to this. I think the church is realizing, wow, marriage is good. I don't know if it is. I don't know if it's as much of a goal for Christian discipleship as we've made it out to be, which I'm encouraged by.
Now, I love the fact that you work in the church as a Christian single woman. Mm-hmm. First of all, would you say that, you know, in your experience, I haven't read any statistics and data, but I don't think it would be far-fetched to say that the overwhelming majority, right, of people in leadership positions in the church are married. And two, it's obviously mostly men. Do you feel like you've experienced that gap as far as the single gap, right, and how it's viewed? And then as a woman, right, in leadership as a single, do you feel like you've experienced challenges? And you're laughing.
No challenges. It's the easiest pie. Yeah, yeah. What are you talking about, JJ?
Easy, easy. Down here in the South, it's just, you know, like apple pie. No, I definitely have experienced that. Again, I don't think that's anyone's fault necessarily. And I never intended, it wasn't my goal. Let me climb the ranks of church leadership and stay single and prove a point. Like that wasn't the goal. It just kind of happened as I followed Jesus. But yeah, most of the rooms, even this morning, I had we literally had a leadership meeting and the guy leading it, he was like, all right, guys and lady. Cause it was, oh gosh, there must've been 20 of us in there. And I was the only female in the room and the only single person in the room. And by that, I mean, unmarried. It's gotten to the point now where I almost don't even notice. Cause it's just such a, like, somebody asked me one time, like, how's your season of singleness? And I'm like, can you call it a season if it's been your whole life?
Like, yeah. Like, this how is about all life? Like,
yeah. How's my life going? My life is great. But you know, I've even within that, I've had people within, again, well-meaning, like as a form of encouragement, be like, man, the leader you are now and the role you have in ministry now, just imagine what's going to happen when you get married. As if part of my calling was on hold until another person came to complete it or fulfill it, to which I say I'm pretty sure Jesus is the only one who can make the claim and fulfill it, that he does the fulfilling. And I've been through different seasons of how I responded to that. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, of people saying, like, once you get married.
Yeah,
then.
Just imagine. Yeah, I had so many people, Meredith, I want you to continue that thought, but in Heart of Dating, starting as a single woman, so many people would be like, just wait till you get that man. And I never banked on that. In Heart of Dating, I never, when I started dating, being like, JJ, be like, seriously, I wasn't like, oh, hey, but in order to like really be with me, you have to be joining Heart of Dating, because then Heart of Dating will explode and it'll be so much better. Like, I never put that pressure on him. I never even mentioned that to him. I wanted it to be, if that is the Lord's story and journey for us, like the Lord's going to put that on his heart and he's going to be passionate about it. But for it to be like, oh, it's fine now that you're single, but just imagine what you could do, Kate, when you have that married man in Heart of Dating. I'm like, okay, because my story isn't enough just as it is. Thank you.
No. No, but that's, and I don't think people realize that's what they're communicating. I genuinely think they mean it as a form of encouragement. But it's just off focus. Again, it's a hyper focus on the wrong thing. And I've been through, I'm sure you went through different seasons of how you responded to that. Like, I definitely, and I think each season God changed my focus of what calling actually is and what is required to fulfill your calling. Whether it's in ministry like me or whatever God has called someone to. But I think at first I believed them, right? Like, oh yeah, you're right. And I would pray about, and I would focus on, like, okay, let me dream about what my life could be like, what my ministry could be like when that person is finally here. And I just want to say, like, though that may seem innocent, I think that that actually is a focus of a fear of man. Because in some way there's like, well, maybe, and at least this is for me, other people will view me a certain way once I'm married, and then I will be right. deemed like this level of leader or
right.
this level of authority once I am joined with someone else. And that really is just a fear of man issue. The deeper root is it's a fear of man issue. And then other than believing them, I think when I move past that, and then overcorrection is I went to combating them.
Mm.
So then I'm like, and I grew up with two older brothers. I played softball in college. I am like, you know, ready for the competition. So, and then it became a like, I'm going to show them and I'm going to do more. And I'm going to, you know, if I'm single, that means I have more time and more, like, I'm going to be like a super fulfilling of this calling.
Super single.
And if the first, yes, I had
I'm
a cape.
Single. I'm super single.
Yeah, yeah. Like I'm a super single woman with my cape.
That is
I got
perfect.
It.
Gosh, yes. I should make a t-shirt because that was definitely what I thought. And I'll lead more groups and I will take on more serving responsibilities. And really that, if the first one is a fear of man, this just becomes an idolatry of self. And what I can do and what I, and finally, I do feel like God brought me to the season of, I don't want to just believe them. I don't want to combat them. I want to honoringly ignore them and just follow Jesus. That it's not a Proverbs 4:25-27, right? It says, do not look to the right or to the left, but keep your gaze directly before you. And that translation, even like, if you look at keep your gaze, the like literal translation is don't even let your eyelashes flutter, is how much scripture's trying to be like, can I fulfill my calling? Should I believe that? I'm going to combat them. And he's like, you focus on me. And as you follow me, I will walk you right into whatever your calling and purpose is supposed to be. I'm the one who wrote out all the days for you before there was even one of them, by the way. So if you follow me, I will walk you into those days written for you when it comes to calling, leadership, whatever. And that's way less exhausting.
So do you feel like people's singleness is limited when they do anything other than gaze at Jesus and what he has for them immediately in that moment?
To be human is to live with limits, right? So like, I am a human being. I have limits. There are limits in marriage. There are limits in singleness. There are limits when you have kids. There, you know, so it's like, to be human is to live within limits. I think we become discouraged in singleness when we focus on the limits and not on the freedom that that specific phase of your life affords you. And so that's why I'm saying, if you keep your gaze focused on Jesus, then you will not be focused on the limits. You will be focused on the freedom that comes from following Jesus. It is for freedom that Christ has set you free in your singleness, in your marriage, being a mom, being a dad. And I'm just, that's right. Psalm 27 says, one thing I've asked of the Lord, this I will seek, that I will gaze upon the beauty in your temple, to inquire in your temple. It's just like one track mindset. That makes it light and fun.
Yeah.
Versus let me figure out how to get out of this, you know?
Right. So there is a reality, and you brought this up earlier, like in many churches, I've just like looked around and I don't see a lot of head pastors that are single or even just like on the teaching team. There's not that many. Like I do have some core friends and people that we know. I'm like, that's amazing. But I feel like they're still like, at least seemingly, unless Meredith, you've seen something so different. Like, why do you think that there are so few single leaders or pastors in the church?
No, that's honestly one reason why Tara Lee and I have kept being such good friends, because we don't know many other, not just women, but people who are in leadership or teaching the Bible who are single. So we've been like, I got you, girl. I got you. Yes. It's nice to have someone else who is in your same life experience who can actually look at you and be like, I get it. And seeing other people who are single in leadership within the church or pastoring or teaching the Bible is becoming increasingly rare, I think. I don't know. I have no stats on that. But my experience, that has been the case. And I can assume a few reasons. I think, like, there are a few, like, biblical examples. Titus 1, 1 Timothy 3, I think it is, where it does say, like, you know, overseers and leaders in the church should be a husband of one wife. Their children shouldn't be acting crazy, you know? So it's like the biblical examples we have where it outlines leadership that explicitly they're married. To which I say, like, what do you do with Jesus? What do you do with Paul? Mm-hmm.
What do you do with the fact that people are married at like 12 and 13 years old? Like, and yeah, you know, well, like there's exactly.
Yeah. Well, in the South, it's close to that age, but just a few years, just a few years.
Well, and those scriptures don't, just because they're addressed to men who are husbands in the church doesn't mean that it excludes women, because that's also one of the most popular verses people use to describe why women should not even be within leadership of the church. Mm-hmm. It's because this is addressed to men and it's clearly not addressed to women. So mm-hmm. obviously it's excluding women, mm-hmm. right? And that's not necessarily the case.
Yeah.
But I feel like, you know, we're more single now in the U.S. than ever before. So it's 51% yeah. of the U.S. adult population single. Mm-hmm. And in a church, it's roughly about 35% single. So your church is a little bit ahead of that, which is really cool and exciting. It's typically a younger church will skewer higher in singleness. But I feel like, you know, it's kind of like that leadership team. It just rarely, right, has that 37-year-old single guy mm-hmm. or girl, like either yeah. sex.
Like, and I get people who quote those 1 Timothy 2, you know, it's like, again, I think most people are just, they want to hold biblical truth well, which I honor and I respect. But outside of those, I'm going to be straight up too, like, why aren't there a lot of singles in leadership? It's hard. That's like not a theological answer. That's just being a single in leadership ain't easy. Like, it's, you put your heart and soul into preaching a message, right? You preach it on a Sunday. It's very like emotionally, physically, spiritually, like you just poured it out. And then you go home.
Alone.
Ain't nobody there.
You yeah.
know? Yeah. You're like, so plants, how was my message today? You know?
You don't have a dog?
No, thank you.
No. Okay. Well,
you're saying that to the biggest dog lover of all time, Meredith.
This is very important. Do you have a clean garage? Like a very organized, clean garage?
I don't have a garage.
Okay, good. Because I heard a quote the other day that said, if you meet someone who doesn't like dogs, it's questionable. If you meet someone who has a very clean, organized garage, it's questionable. If they have both, run away.
No garage. My car's just... My car is homeless. It is just parked in the driveway.
As we're saying that, our dog is coming up right now. How did she know that we were talking about dogs?
So, but I see what you mean. Sometimes it just is maybe as lonely the word you would use.
For sure. And think about, there's a lot of weighty, pastoral, I mean, you're dealing with people's pain, you're dealing with people's struggles. And as you shouldn't go and just process that with your friends, because that is a person's, you need that close community for sure, which is, I'm sure you have many podcasts on friendship, because singles, please be a good friend. If you can't be a good friend, you'll never be a good spouse. But yeah, anyway,
so agree.
You can't just go process with other people the way you could if you had a spouse. So there's a lot of just practical information you have to carry. And I think a lot of people who are single, the higher you get up in influence and leadership, just practically the harder it gets. And there's not a, there, or at least there hasn't been until our current generation, a way to help singles in leadership with that weight. Does that make sense? And currently, like the great, I have a great fellowship of brothers around me on the teaching team here. And I think we are kind of learning together, what does this look like for single people in leadership, married people in leadership, to truly do this together, though it may look different, because we need each other.
There are some people that, to your point, biblically are trying to be like very, very specific in how they interpret things, and this is just how it's going to be and how I see it. So I do think, and I'll just voice that I personally have the opinion that there are not maybe as many opportunities for singles in leadership because of that. But I also think on the flip side of that, that because if you're walking into an environment where every leader is married and you're a single, you're like, this is probably not, and there's an open position on whatever, you're probably not thinking, oh, I can apply for this, or this could be something that I step into, because, what I'm seeing modeled is, oh, I have to be married to be on that. Plus all the other stigmas around, you know, how marriage is the pinnacle. So there's just a lot of, whether it's anybody is explicitly saying, oh, Kate, you're not qualified for that position, you need to be married. Nobody's necessarily saying that. It's more of an implicit observation that I feel like lot of singles might have. But for singles who do feel like maybe their singleness limits them, in especially in ministry, but in general, they feel maybe afraid to step out because I'm not as legit if I don't have a partner. What would you say to those people?
Man, I see y'all. I get it. But I think I have two main things I want to say to you is, first of all, the Spirit of God is not confined to your relationship status. And scripture is very clear, Zechariah 4, not by might, not by power, not by marriage, but by the Spirit of God that is within you. You are not waiting on something like a spiritual upgrade via marriage for you to be able to step out and do all God has placed inside of you to do. And I want to talk to women and men, singles, distinctly, actually. So let me start with the men. First of all, the Holy Spirit is the only helper that you need. Yes, women were given the title helper, and I'm going to talk to us in a second. But the Spirit of God is more than enough of a helper to come alongside you and be the strength that you need to do all God has placed inside of you to do. And if you are truly being led by the Spirit, He will also not keep excusing you from asking out beautiful, viable women candidates at your local community. And by the way, ask out the women that intimidate you for the love of everything. I can't tell you how many times people just said, "He's intimidated by you." And I'm like, I am a good time, man. I am fun. I am, just because I know the word doesn't mean you should be intimidated or whatever. So anyways, the Holy Spirit is grace, the only helper you need. And also, ask out the girl that intimidates you. Just go for it. That's for the men. The ladies, I don't know if you would say this, Kate. I used to hate the title helper. Like, yes, I would hate,
I hate it. Yes, yes, yes.
When people would bring it up. And then you realize helper, at least in the Old Testament, the only other time, it's the Hebrew word ezer. And the only other time it's used in the Old Testament is to refer to the strength of God that comes alongside men. So it's like, okay, yeah, I'm cool with that. Like, I would love that title.
I want to be referred to as the strength of God that comes alongside people. It sounds great.
That sounds amazing. Give me that title all day. And also, hello, the Holy Spirit is called the Helper. So what an honor that the Holy Spirit would be pleased to share that title with us. And so to the ladies, I would say there is nothing, especially if we are given that title, what in the world limits us from walking in our identity with the Holy Spirit and going for whatever God has placed inside of us? I mean, we're talking on a podcast that was a step of faith for a woman who believed this very thing, who was like, JJ, so glad you're here, man. What an answer to prayer, you know? But what if you had waited? You know, what if you had waited for JJ to come along? There'd be a whole, I mean, thousands upon thousands of people who missed out on being helped by the strength of God because you waited instead of just stepped out. And I'm just saying to any single other single woman out there, what could be on the other side of you stepping out in that step of faith? How many other hundreds of thousands of people could be helped because you're like, I'm just going to go for it. And what's the worst that could happen? It doesn't work out. Okay. Try something else. Like, yeah.
So how would you say you got to that point? Like, was there a defining moment of your singleness where, or were you just always this way? Were you born this way? Like,
no.
What song is that?
Is that Lady Gaga?
Oh, Lady Gaga.
That's Lady Gaga.
Okay.
Lady Gaga. Is it credible that I know that?
Yeah, it's a little suspect.
No, I respect it. I respect that you know that. No, this is, I have not always been been this way. There's, y'all, I've been in 18 weddings. Mm-hmm. I've been a maid of honor 4 times.
Because you're a great friend. Also, like saying what you said earlier, which is so important. So good.
Friendship. So this has come by way of a lot of wrestling with God, a lot of not doing it right, by way of tears, by way of loneliness. And I just want that we've got to stop being so afraid of loneliness. Loneliness, this is how God has taught me through a lot, through many years of some lonely days, that loneliness is really just space. And if Genesis 1 taught us anything, is that the Holy Spirit loves to fill open space. And I would not trade for a second what loneliness has gotten me of God for a decade of marriage at this point. And God has a different journey for all of us. But the journey he has brought me on, Jesus has truly become my best friend because there were many times where I didn't have anybody else to turn to for that. So, and this is the like such a crazy economy of the gospel that what the world would say is void and vapid, the Holy Spirit looks at and goes, that's some space I can work with. Let me go make a new creation out of it.
So good. It's almost like a transition or a transformation from loneliness to aloneness with God.
Yeah, that is a great way to say it. To the point now when about a year ago when Brandon asked me to be his girlfriend, he was like, is there anything that scares you? And I was like, well, a multitude of things, but the main thing that scares me is I am nervous about you third wheeling in me and God's business. Like, we've got a real good thing going here. And I don't know how to, like, let someone else into that. To which Brandon's just the best. And he's been like, ain't here to ruin anything you and God got. just here to come alongside and add to the party. So, which is wild because I never thought I would say that. But here we are. I've got a boyfriend third wheeling in what me and God have been talking about for a really long time.
Yeah, you do.
It's a fun time. You love third wheeling.
Yeah.
And vice versa.
Kay feels like a third wheel with me, the dogs, for sure.
You, the dogs, and God?
Yeah,
and God. Totally. But Meredith,
that feels
I have
like
to,
a separate podcast.
Yeah, that's a separate. That's a separate.
That's a therapy session, not a podcast.
That's a therapy session. And it has been, actually. Real talk.
Me, the dogs, and God.
It was like, God, the dogs, me. Oh, I'm just kidding, babe. Okay, so there are so many women, and we have lots of guys listening, so this is, you know, we love our men. Hello, single guys.
greetings.
greetings. But we do have a lot of women listening, and, you know, I do find that there's a lot of women that have that, they're like, my mate, and you touched on calling purpose earlier, so they're like, I do feel like my main purpose, my main call is to be a wife and to be a mom, and you know, they're like, this is it. This is it for me. And this isn't happening. And so I don't have a purpose without being a wife, without being a mom. Would you be able to speak to that for just a second as our last final question today?
It's a good one.
First of all, I want to just make very clear that I am by no means diminishing the role of a wife and a mom. Like, some of my best friends and strongest women I know are great wives, boss moms, and I only want to affirm and elevate those beautiful roles. I would just also like to bring alongside the biblical reality that those are not your ultimate description as a woman. As an image bearer of God. I think one beautiful thing about Jesus's fulfillment of the Old Testament, you know, you have Genesis, God gives the command, be fruitful and multiply. And the church took him very seriously, and which we should have. Good job. Good job, church. But we equated that to marriage and biological children. But then you get to the New Testament and you have Matthew 28, go and make disciples.
Right.
And
multiplication, but in a different way. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So I would say, like, there was a span of time where I got very sad thinking I may never have biological children. Mm. And the truth is, I still may never have biological children. And it used to sadden me or scare me, until God expanded my vision for what fulfilling the role of a mother looks like when it comes to the new covenant and the new kingdom of Jesus Christ. That as a woman, I am indeed called to mother. I may never be called to mother biological children, but let me tell you, and this is where I always cry when I talk about them. But I have I was in student ministry for a long time. I've had students live at my house who needed a safe home for a span of time. I have picked up from school. I have taken to work. I have helped them open savings accounts. I have disciplined. I have been sitting in the living room at 1 a.m. being like, it's past your curfew, you know? And that, I would say, number one, is discipleship. And number two, that is the role of a mother. And what is beautiful about the cross of Jesus Christ is in John 19, John, the beloved disciple, and his mother, Jesus's mother, Mary, are standing at the foot of the cross. And Jesus looks at John and says, John, behold your mother. And then he looks at Mary and says, Mary, behold your son, talking about John. And we see Jesus doing this unbelievable thing right before he dies, as he's showing my blood and my cross is redefining what family is. And when the church does this right, it means that we are, any younger person I now see, like, that's my spiritual son and daughter, and I have a responsibility. And I tell the older men and women at our church all the time, I'm like, please, mother and father me. Like, I need correction. I need help. I need, you know, somebody to call when I'm crying. And I just think when the church starts celebrating baptisms, maybe as much or even more as we're celebrating weddings, then we're doing it right. If we are celebrating spiritual unity more than just the vows of marriage unity, then we're doing it right. So I'm just telling all the women out there, yes, you are called to mom, and you go out there and you mom it up. Find a younger woman in the faith and just help, like, mother, pick her up. Like, and it is different. And I'm not saying there is also grief held within that. But the beauty of walking with Jesus is joy and grief can coexist. And the grief one day of it will end, but that joy will just keep riding right into the new heaven and the new earth. So go mama, y'all.
So good, Meredith. Like, that is one of the best things I've ever heard on just addressing that subject of, you know, my sole purpose is to be a wife and a mom, which are beautiful things to desire and want to have in life. And, like, let's talk about how, like, the New Testament and Jesus's example completely gives more options to that than just, hey, get married and make babies.
Right.
And so just thank you. Thank you for that. Thank you for today. You are phenomenal. I want everyone to go and follow you and check in with you and all the things. They're going to probably you'll probably get DMs because our people love doing that. But how do people find you, connect with you? Do you do speaking at other churches? Can people, like, ask you to come speak, or what is your with
that? Yeah. I do speak at other churches. I love my church, but I love the global church, and as many churches will invite me as much as I can. I love it. But really the only, like, maybe one day I'll have a website, maybe one day I ain't got any of that stuff right now. So really Instagram at Mayor Knox is what I got. So, but yeah, if I can serve any church in any way, I would be humbled and honored to come serve church communities for sure.
Well, thank you so much. I love your passion for God's word. Your passion for God's church, and most importantly, your passion and desire that just speaks to edify your brothers and your sisters in Christ. I think it just drips off every single word. It's just coated in compassion to edify right people. And I love your closing answer. It's just like when Jesus talks about, I've been reading the New Testament and the Gospels, and I'm like, when Jesus talks about earthly family, I don't want to say it's, like, cruel or demeaning, but it is, like, so void of seriousness. Like, it is such not a priority for him, biological family. There's nowhere in the New Testament where it says, pray for your earthly mom and dad. If anything, it's constantly just like, families are going to be divided over me. Mm-hmm. Parents are going to, you know, fight with sons and sons with their fathers and mothers with their daughters. In Luke 13 and 14, it talks about, like, conflict between families guaranteed, but the consistent message, right, is praying for your brothers and your sisters, praying, right, for spiritual fathers and mothers. Mm-hmm. And I just think comparing those two for me over the past couple of years has radically transformed how I view my family, my earthly family. And that's, mm-hmm. that's hard. Mm-hmm. And, mm-hmm. but I think the magnification of Christ also means the magnification of the eternal family and kingdom that we have joined.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes. Can I say one more thing?
Yes. Yeah.
To that. I just, this is like everything you're saying, JJ, is just like, John Tyson says, this is what it sounds like in my heart. But that's like, he's Australian, if y'all have never heard
of him. I love John Tyson, yes.
But that's what it sounds like in my heart, is this like every earthly relationship we have, marriage, friendships, family, is a mere refraction, a reflection of the ultimate perfect relationship we are going to get with God in eternity. And I think that's why any ounce of waiting we feel, the pain of waiting for a spouse, the pain of waiting for a child, the pain of waiting for a child to come home, the pain of waiting for a healing, all of our waiting is trying to reveal to us the ultimate thing we are waiting for. And it is this full union with Christ. Like, it is actually our soul or our spirit groaning with the rest of creation of, I'm tired of waiting for this perfect union. Come on back. And creation in the form of those dogs is groaning for Christ to come back. That is their amen for him to return. And I just had to... I had to add that, those 2 cents after you said that, JJ, because it's just, that's it.
Yeah, it's the ultimate hope. Like, there is a tangible hope of Jesus and eternity that actually impacts the way I live my life today.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right. That satisfies and sustains me. And that's the hope that we saw, right, in Paul and Jesus, the greatest singles, right, who ever lived. That was good enough for them.
Yep. Good enough for them, good enough for me.
Amen. Well, thank you so much. I was blown away. Such a wonderful episode. And we're so, so grateful for your time today.
Thanks, JJ. Girl. Thanks, Kate.
Thanks, girl. You're amazing.
The Heart of Dating podcast is created by Kate and JJ Tomlin. Shout out to our epic audio and video editor, Scott Caro. We have an amazing Heart of Dating team who helps bring the show to you each week. I want to shout out Kelsey Napier, our Heart of Dating digital marketing coordinator, and Elena Gibson, our brand and community manager. We couldn't do it without them. Now, if you guys have never ranked us or reviewed us on iTunes or Spotify, would you consider doing that? It would mean so much because our podcast can get more discovered and more people can learn how to better date as Christians. Don't we all want that? We launch our podcast each and every week on Wednesdays. So we will see you next week.